This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with the one and only Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. We are at 7-5radio.org. We are live on Saturday, June the 5th, 2021 on Liberty News Radio Network. Walter, how are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. A lot better than the Yankees. They're getting their asses kicked by Boston and at the stadium, but... What are you going to do?
Yeah, root for another ball club. But anyways, first order of business, like always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we remember Sergeant Dominic Vaca of the San Bernardino County, California Sheriff's Department. End of watch, May 31st, 2021. Sergeant Vaca was in pursuit of an individual riding an off-road motorcycle. He lost sight of the individual who took cover and waited and ambushed Sergeant Vaca. But, however, good news that the gunman was shot and killed. So we will remember Sergeant Vaca from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Anyways, second order of business. Like most shows we have here on Liberty News Radio Network, we report on news that has not happened yet. Let me say this again. We report news that has not happened yet. We're not making predictions. We're just saying, here's what's going on. It just didn't happen yet. Anyways, last week I was talking to you about the In Factory We Trust yard sign, which is available on our social media and website. And we're telling you how... Fauci was a POS. I'm not going to say what the S stands for. But anyways, Jim Lancia told me many months ago that Fauci was involved in developing COVID-19 and that the U.S. government was paying for it. Now, the problem was I could not verify it. Social media kept pulling it and banned it, and mainstream media just buried it. But anyways, as y'all know, emails are coming out. And it turns out that the U.S. taxpayer was paying for COVID-19 experimentation in a Chinese lab in Wuhan, China. And Fauci knew about it and gave it the green light. And then our dumpster fire media brought Fauci on not to question him, but to let him defend himself against, well, frankly, himself in the emails. Here are some questions that need to be asked for Dr. Fauci. I mean, why is Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates talking to him, number one? Secondly, why is Bill Gates so interested in vaccines? And then why is Bill Gates also interested in vaccine and population control and so-called reproductive health? And then another one question is, like, why is the United States government even giving money to China to do this experimentation? I mean, we got enough, trust me, folks, we got enough labs here in the U.S. We have enough biological chemical weapons to kill everybody on this earth. Also, here's another question. Why isn't Fauci in jail? What's the deal about this quack of a doctor that we haven't said last week?
Well, you know, it's going to be like this. They've been blaming this Wuhan virus on Mr. Trump ever since it came out, you know, 15, 16 months ago. He brought on Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. They were highly recommended by the World Health Organization. And we know how that turned out with Mr. Trump. Okay. Mr. Fauci is nothing but a talking head now. And has been for quite some time. There's there's no one that I can find, and I've looked to see when the last time Dr. Fauci was actually in a laboratory, part of a research team. You know, to get where he got, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you know, you had to be quite smart. However, with the invention of social media, this guy has embraced it. And he's on the covers of magazines, you know, wearing designer clothes and designer shoes. You know, that's not somebody I want in charge of a pandemic. I would much rather have, in comparison, Dr. Henry Lee, as far as he can do, you know, the forensics and blood spatter and things like that in his field, on somebody in the CDC as strong as Dr. Lee is in his field. And I think most people follow me. If I need to spell it out, send me an email. Dr. Fauci, you know, may have the credentials, but he doesn't have the smarts anymore. You know, there's a big difference of having smarts and having the credentials. He doesn't have it anymore. He is out of touch. He hasn't used a Bunsen burner since probably the last time I used a Bunsen burner, and that was in freaking high school. And I'm 62. So, you know, the man is, and when he flipped the second time last summer, when he changed his mind about the mask, well, it's not, it doesn't really help. You know, when he flipped the second time going back to the mask, that was it. That was it. There wasn't anything nice or anything good I had to say about Dr. Fauci in the direction that he was taking the White House. The White House was given false information, bad information. And I'm surprised Mr. Trump, maybe he did, I don't know. But if he did, it should have been made public. If Mr. Trump actually had hands-on, not being part of the research team, but hands-on knowledge of what the research team was doing. And there were research teams all over the country, starting with Bethesda. Dr. Fauci misled, and Mr. Trump is quite pissed at it, that he was misled. And then Dr. Fauci kind of went to the left, you know, very quickly, when Mr. Trump was dismissing it. Dr. Birx anymore. I don't know if she ran out of scarves or what, but she stepped off. And I think that was the right thing to do, is step off, because, you know, her and Fauci were feeding off each other, and he was the senior doctor, and, you know, he's just a horrible little man. He reminds me of Dominic Dunn, just in everybody's business, but doesn't know a damn thing.
Right. Well, Walt, on that note, hopefully Dr. Fauci goes into the great beyond. But anyways, coming up next, we have two important dates in military history in June. One some of us remember, some of us never heard of. Stay tuned, everybody. Check us out, 75radio.org.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5radio.org. We are live tonight on June the 5th, 2021. But anyways, we want to talk about June the 6th, 1944. On this date, 6 June 1944, 150,000 men stormed the Normandy beach in northern France during World War II, known as the Allied Invasion or D-Day. Many of these soldiers were just boys. This long, bloody battle was a turning point in World War II, and many of these soldiers did not make it off the landing craft that hit the beach. The door went down, and they got shot and killed by German gun turrets. But a good movie to watch D-Day was Saving Private Ryan. Now, mind you, Saving Private Ryan is a work of fiction, but Steven Spielberg, to his credit, is very meticulous in terms of events happening in World War II for the most part. And the beginning of Saving Private Ryan just was very detailed in the Normandy invasion. But anyways, as time goes on, more and more of these brave souls are called home to the Lord, and you know, we don't remember them. We start to forget them, and then our heroes go from our fathers and grandfathers that fought in World War II, in Korea, Vietnam, and the two Gulf Wars, and we forget about them, and the media, they have a new hero. It's no longer the veteran with the funny hat for the American Legion, disabled American veterans. But, you know, you get people like Anthony Fauci, LeBron James, and even George Floyd as heroes. But anyways, we want to take this time to remember those people lost on D-Day. Well, what say you about D-Day?
Well, we had sent, like you said, 150 to 200,000 troops to those beaches in northern France. And that was 150 to 200,000 heroes. Like you said, men aging from 17 to 20 were mostly put up in front and sent off of those, off of the boats and into the water. And the
the firing that they faced. Although Private Ryan was detailed, I'm sure it didn't do the justice to the horrors that occurred that morning. That was the turning point in a war that we were losing. That was a turning point for a country that was in pain because we were attacked on our own homeland in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor. It was amazing how fast the troops stormed onto that beach and took it over at the expense of tens of thousands of, and, you know, like I said, and you said, these weren't men. They were young men, barely out of high school. Most of them didn't even shave yet. And they gave their lives, scared to death, had to be scared to death and full of testosterone. And you can't beat a man down. You might be able to kill him, but you can't beat him down when you're afraid and you're full of testosterone, ready to go. A lot of them said their prayers. A lot of them sent letters home that, you know, it was their last night on the planet. And like you said, you know, they were welcomed into the arms of the good Lord and Savior. And here we are today. Some of this country disrespecting those young men that gave their lives. It's horrible to look around the country, see the burned out cities in Minneapolis, in Atlanta, Portland, all around the country where the nonsense and baloney crap started because of a freaking drug addict. What a disrespectful thing to happen. And then they celebrated that man on the day of his death. But you won't see anything coming out of that neighborhood tomorrow about how they feel about how 100,000 people died, gave their lives. And I'm not just talking about Americans, I'm talking about our allies also, that gave us what we have today and the animals that are destroying it. But God bless our men in blue and our men in the services, our armed services.
Yep. I couldn't say it any better myself. But anyways, we go from one infamous date in history to another. This event I want to talk about, 34 Americans dead, 171 Americans wounded. Well, I spent 8 years in the U.S. Navy, something I am very, very proud of. I learned plenty of U.S. Navy history, learned about the Continental Navy, John Paul Jones, David Farragut, Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the USS Maine, the USS Forrestal, so on and so forth, including these people of color that broke glass windows, the Golden 13, Carl Brashear, so on and so forth. But one thing I did not learn about in U.S. naval history until I was out of the Navy and was listening to the Deep Political Cesspool was the USS Liberty. Also, I learned that the gigantic failure of shipboard firefighting from the USS Forrestal. But I did not learn about the gigantic success of damage control, of fires, flooding, taking fire from the enemy, and the boat is still able to remain afloat and move on its own power. What I'm talking about, on the 8th of June, 1967, the USS Liberty was in international waters, listening to radio traffic from Israel, Egypt, and Syria, as a six-day war started. Egypt and Syria teamed up, and Israel started bombing the hell out of them. Israel attacked the USS Liberty with jets and torpedo boats. That day, the USS Liberty flew not one, but two American flags on the mast as the first one was shot down, destroyed. The second U.S. flag was bigger than the first U.S. flag as it's used on Sundays and holidays and special occasions. Also on the side of the boat was its designation, ATGR-5. It was painted on both sides of the ship, forward and aft. Also, the radio transmission antenna was destroyed, as well as the four 50-caliber gun mounts and lifeboats. One brave soul was able to repair antenna to get emergency messaging out, calling for help. Torpedo boats came and launched torpedoes, which hit the hull below the waterline, causing flooding. The engineering department was able to keep the diesel engines running and the lights of the ship on. The Liberty's captain, Commander William the ship's commander was on the bridge, keeping the ship afloat, directing damage control efforts while seriously injured. When we come back, we'll talk further about the incidents of the USS Liberty and the aftermath. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former President Trump started his speech at North Carolina's 2021 Republican convention by saying the country is being destroyed before our very eyes. The president calling Biden and leftist Democrats the most radical administration in history.
Crime is exploding. Police departments are being ripped apart and defunded.
The former president continues by saying illegal immigration is out of control.
Under Joe Biden, illegal crossings are up nearly 1,000% compared to the same period last year. In April alone, over 175,000 illegal aliens were apprehended and mostly released. You know where they were released, right? They were released into our country.
President Biden set to talk infrastructure with Republicans in the Senate on Monday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Jay Schrader, Super Bowl 22 champion and former Raiders quarterback. Playing professional football for 11 years beat my body up pretty bad. I've had so many surgeries on my neck, back, and shoulders and knees, I've just learned to live with constant discomfort. I tried so many products, some worked for a little while, but nothing gave me total relief until one day, a golfing buddy introduced me to Sons of Liberty CBD.com. I used their CBD Muscle Ease, rubbed it on my hands and neck, and wow, what did it do for me? I immediately began using their other products, and I have golfed pain-free for the first time in many years. I've reached out to Sons of Liberty CBD and visited their operation from farm to factory. Folks, this team walks the walk. Their motto is, for vets, by vets. I shared the product with my friend Wayne Allen Root, and now he's a fan of Sons of LibertyCBD.com. Wayne's fans will receive a 15% discount using code WAR15 at checkout. I've told all my NFL buddies about Sons of LibertyCBD.com, and now I'm telling you, go to Sons of LibertyCBD.com. When it works for you, like it did for me, we both win.
Back-to-back earthquakes are being reported in Southern California on Saturday. The U.S. Geological Survey says the strongest was a magnitude 5.3 quake with a depth of 5 kilometers. All of them struck just before 11 a.m. local time near Salton Sea in Imperial County. That's about 7 miles from Calipatria and about 25 miles from El Centro. Residents in San Diego, Oceanside, Escondido, and near the Mexico border say they felt it. The first four earthquakes had preliminary magnitudes between 4 and 4.6. A Florida man has a good reason to quit his job, but he says he won't.
Pensacola's Gregory Thomas recently won $1 million in a Florida lottery scratch-off game. His lump sum payment, $790,000. But that's still not enough to get the 52-year-old to quit the job he has had for about 30 years as a school bus driver. Thomas says he's planning to use some of his winnings to help his parents. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Peter Scoop staying with Walter Yerkew, talking about the incidents of June 8th, 1967 with the USS Liberty. Also, before the show tonight, James Edwards had crew members from the USS Liberty that were on the ship when it was attacked by Israel on the show. Go ahead and check out the archives on thepoliticalcesspool.org. But anyways, during the attack, the commanding officer, Commander William McGonagall, was on the bridge, keeping the ship afloat, directing damage control while seriously injured. He refused to be treated by medical until after the fact. When the ship was on harm's way, Captain McGonagall was treated and had shrapnel removed from his leg. After the ship, it was brought into dry dock in Malta, then to Naval Operating Base Norfolk, and then it was scrapped. Israel held an inquiry where no one was held accountable. The U.S. did the same thing. They held an inquiry and did not hold Israel accountable. Israel did pay the victims' families $7 million. And the commanding officer did receive the Medal of Honor. But again, I did not hear any of this while I was active duty in the U.S. Navy. And why did Israel attack a U.S. naval ship? Because they wanted to sink it. And then the U.S. would come to Israel's aid and blow the hell out of Syria and Egypt. But that did not happen because they did not count on the excellent damage control skills of the Liberty's crew. Of course, nothing was said about it. Well, you think Walter or Cronkite would say anything about it? No. But you think anybody would talk about Israel attacking a U.S. naval vessel? You know what? Since that happened, there's been no movies, no TV shows, no plaques, no remembrances, nothing on the History Channel, NASA Geographic Channel, or the Military Channel. You don't see Arlie Ermey cover this incident on his old TV show Mail Call, even though a Marine did die on the ship trying to save other people. I think we all know why. But fast forward to present day, I called on Bright News Tonight on SiriusXM when the well-fed Rebecca Mansour was hosting. She had some other guest who was Jewish talk up Israel for whatever reason. And it was really sickening how much they're sucking up to Israel. You know, I called the show and simply reminded that Israel attacked a U.S. naval ship flying the U.S. flag in international waters on 8 June 1967. And the host simply said, "Oh, you're one of those. We don't deal with conspiracies." And the phone line went dead. Folks, it's not a conspiracy. Israel intentionally attacked a naval ship that had absolutely no way to protect itself. So anyways, if you say that Israel attacked a U.S. naval ship, then you consider conspiracy theory a nut or anti-Jew or some other foolishness. But anyways, the only thing that came out of this was that they just covered it up and just forgot about it. Walt, what say you about this tragedy that nobody's going to remember on the 8th of June of this year or any year afterwards?
Well, you know, it's hard. Like, you know, we talked on the phone earlier, and, you know, we talked about different things that happened in certain places and in certain ways caused by certain people or races or creeds or, you know, whatever the hell you want to call yourselves. And right away, because there was either a Holocaust or there was slavery in the 1800s, you know, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it. The things that happened, the things that they caused. The people from all walks of life will always revert to what was done to their freaking ancestors 75, 100, 200 freaking years ago when, okay, it's all right to mourn, but it's also okay to move on. If you want to mourn, go ahead, but but stop bringing it up when you do something to this country, when you are part of the problem, not the solution. I can't say anything more than what you've already said. You know, I'm just one guy giving my opinion based on the observations that people allow me to see, because they're the ones that are doing it that I could watch. So I agree. There are so many other events that were caused against our country, our armed forces, our police forces, our religious people. So many crimes committed against us that now, instead of being the strongest country in the world, we're now the most apologetic. I think,
well,
apologizing for what people have done to this country is a crime in itself. And I will never, ever apologize. Never.
Well, it's just a hell of a show. You know, that's why we do the show, because nobody other than, you know, the people on this network that we're part of the family talk about and refuse to talk about. I can guarantee, gosh darn tea, Fox News is not going to talk about the USS Liberty incidents. Maybe on Fox Nation, but that's about it. But, you know, they don't want to talk about it. You know, Americans died on that day because Israel wanted to entice the U.S. into the Six-Day War. But anyways, more bad news. This week, Joe Biden went to Tulsa, Oklahoma to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the so-called Tulsa race riots. Now, folks, I've heard nothing about this for 98 years, but since it's, you know, has to do with race, some black people got killed, it happened 100 years ago, Joe Biden's the president, now we got to talk about it like it happened yesterday. I mean, when is it going to end? But it's like January 6th all over again. The event itself was blown way out of proportion. The riot was caused by more or less misinformation and rumors, not just white people decided to just get together and go kill black people. But anyways, at this event, Joe Biden said white supremacists is America's greatest terrorist threat. You know, meanwhile, Russia's hacking to everything. We just had no gas in the Eastern Seaboard that did it thanks to ransomware from Russia. A packing plant was attacked by ransomware. China and Iran is rattling the sabers. Golly knows what North Korea is doing. The border's wide open. The street garbage is doing what they do best, turning D.C. and every other major city into a Fallujah. And white supremacists is the biggest problem. I mean, you know, anybody who doesn't live in New York City or Manhattan Island, more specifically D.C., Seattle, or California, and don't want this country to go down the toilet are white supremacists. You know, the people that pass over for scholarships, job placement, promotions, contracts, so on and so forth, they're white supremacists. The people have heard over and over again, women, minorities, and people of color are highly encouraged to apply. They're white, and they don't like that. They're the white supremacists. You know, Jim Lancia couldn't make sergeant with the Bridgeport Police Department because of a lawsuit concerning the number of black officers not being promoted because they can't score high enough on the test. Walter, you know about this situation in with the NYPD. He's a white supremacist because he scored high on the test and should have got promoted. But, you know, he's a white supremacist. But, you know, these same people, these same so-called white supremacists, guess what? They were storming the beach in Normandy. They were on the USS Liberty getting shot at. They're the ones with specialized military units of Force Recon, SEAL Team 6. They're also the cop, the firemen that come to our aid in the middle of the night. They're the ones making sure our water's safe to drink, the lights are on our house, so on and so forth. But, I mean, Joe Biden just is placating the rent-a mob as usual. You know, I'm sure he'd say, well, if you don't believe me, you ain't black. Well, let's say you real quick before we our next commercial break.
You know, every day that passes, is one more less day that we have to put up with Joe Biden. That's what I have to say about that. Every day that passes is one day closer to the election in 2024. And, you know, it might seem like it's a 1,000 miles away and you're walking backwards. But step by step, we're getting to November 2024. That's all I can say.
Right. But anyways, while we're coming our next break, we're going to be coming back. We'll be talking about the gay mafia because it is June. Stay tuned, everybody. You listen to Sunfire Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Folks, check us out, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Also, tell your friends, tell your enemies, and contact your local radio show. Let them know, like, hey, I want to listen to this show. Because we are available to be broadcast anywhere and everywhere. Anyways, last and final subject, this is June or Gay Pride Month. We got to hear about this crap all month long. Meanwhile, the poor sailors are dying on the Liberty, get nothing. But anyways, in June of 1969, the NYPD raided the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village, which is a popular hangout for gay men. I guess the shooting in East New York, Harlem, and all over the Bronx was quiet for that week. The gay men were sick and tired of being harassed by the cops and started to fight the cops. So anyways, this was the start of the gay rights movement. At first, these gay folks just wanted equal rights and just be left alone. Then they want to become our scout masters. Look how that worked out. Then they want to adopt kids because they can't produce offspring like normal husbands and wives. Then they want to marry each other. Now they want to indoctrinate our kids. And I say, hell no. But anyway, starting about two decades ago, a liberal cartoon called Captain Planet and his multicultural sidekicks did an episode concerning a young boy with AIDS. Mind you, this was a cartoon geared towards children, not something like Comedy Central, not like South Park or Family Guy. And then Disney, which was once a wholesome corporation, just turned to a gay man's second best friend. Disney has weak gay-friendly activities at theme parks. They sell mouse ears with the infamous rainbow colors. And the programming, and I call it programming for a reason, is just off the chain. It started in 2007 with a show called Dottie, and then it just went down from there. And, folks, I'm not going to waste time and tell you the number of shows that the Disney Channel has with gay characters. I mean, for example, on a reboot of Disney's DuckTales, which, again, is a children's cartoon, they have two gay dads. Then there's Nickelodeon. I think Nickelodeon just went right to the dark side. They too have joined the Rainbow Baloney Pony. In 2020, Nickelodeon gave us Danger Force featuring two gay dads and a tranny teenager. Then this cartoon called Rugrats has a character that came out of the closet. But then this year, they have a show called Blue's Clues, which is geared towards children 2 to 5. That's 2 years old to 5 years old. They have a character who's a drag queen who was on one of them drag queen shows you see on Paramount or programming all the time, singing a song about gay moms, gay dads, and trainees, and so on and so forth. The character is a drag queen dressed in rainbow. And again, this show is geared towards toddlers who can't even read or write. And then Kellogg Cereal came up with a brilliant idea. Now, I'm not being funny. This is a brilliant idea. Combine all the cereals into one package. Those who like Fruit Loops and Raisin Bran and Frosted Flakes and Corn Flakes and Rice Krispies, all one package. But guess what? They had to gay it all up because it's for Gay Pride Month. I don't know if it's going to be sold in July, but anyways, children's cereal is geared towards kids because they have cartoon characters on the box and it's full of sugar. But this is just this is the tip of the iceberg. In Target stores, they are all in. I mean, it's all propaganda at Target. That's why I shop at Walmart. They got at the front of the store every June, they have, right as you walk in, they have all the gay pride clothing. For everybody, men, women, and children. And if you go in the book section, guess what? They have gay propaganda books for kids. And it's just absolutely just totally revolting because these pinkos, leftist pinkos, American phony that won't let your kids go to school are the same one that's pushing this garbage on the kids. They won't let kids be kids, but they put this guy. They know that parents put their kids in front of the television. It's a cheap instant babysitter while mom, dad work, does some work from home, does some chores, cut the grass or whatever. So they got you, and I'm just sick and tired of it. So I turn off the TV. And unlike most parents, guess what, folks? I can honestly say I sit there and watch the programming with my kids, and I ask my kids, who's this character? Who's this character? What are they doing? What's this going on? That's how I found out a show on Netflix has a tranny character who's like 9, 10 years old, like my daughter's age. And I told my daughter, I said, that's not normal. And I said, do not watch the show anymore. And Netflix has another show or movie from overseas sexualizing preteen girls, which is absolutely disgusting. Because, folks, let me tell you, I'm as perverted as they come. I love women. And they need it in terms of the alphabet for LGBTQIAMTA. They need to put S there for straight, because I like chicks. But anyways, this is supposed to, this preteen girls doing this sexy type dance. I just revolting. And on YouTube, it's the same thing. I'm very careful to what my kids watch. And if there's a video of somebody, I say, do not watch that. But, and God bless my daughter, because she knows about, unfortunately, she knows about gay pride, this, that, and other thing. Fortunately, it's not from the school system, because if it was, all hell would be breaking loose. But she said, you know what? I don't like girls. I'd rather like boys. But she don't like boys in that sense. Hopefully, she's that way till she's about 35. Well, what say you about the program for kids for Gay Pride Month?
Well, you know how I feel about the LGBT community. It's okay. It's always been there. It's always been there. And, you know, if you say, well, I didn't know about it, you know, people are lying. If they, oh, well, in this day and age, people are exercising more of their rights to the Constitution. Okay, rather than the Bible. And that's okay too. You know, because if it was expressed back in 1776 when they were drawing up this declaration, we probably wouldn't have had one. So it's kind of general on the rights to every walking, talking American. But with the media, I mean, nobody heard of television in 1776, I'm pretty sure. Maybe Nostradamus had a little note tucked somewhere, you know, in his grave or something. But nobody knew anything about this stuff that's happening today. The word I'm looking for is, it's right in front of us all the time, no matter where we turn. You flip the channels. I mean, when I grew up in New York, I mean, we only had like 6 or 7 channels. There wasn't all this other stuff, you know, with the movies, downloading the movies and blah, 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 blah. We are out of control when it comes to what our kids see on television. It's just out of control. I remember when I was a kid, they would take the art books out of the library because there was like painted nudes, you know, pictures of painted nudes. Now, and these kids, like you said, you know, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, they're so impressionable. If it's in front of them all the time, they're going to think that this is, you know, real life. And it's not. It's a life for a certain kind of person who wants to live that life. Do I want to see it on my television with my kids? Hell no. Okay, so I change the channel. Or I put up the parental stuff. Even if I got to knock off Nickelodeon, if I had young kids, I would. Just for the fear of them seeing something that I don't want them to see. That I don't want them to see. So moving forward, when you have this stuff so exposed and so open, you got to be careful as a parent. Take care of your own, lock down your television, and make sure your kids understand the values that you want them to understand. Now, if you're gay and you go ahead and you adopt somebody, I don't think it's correct pushing them to a gay lifestyle, whether it's male or female. I don't think that's correct. A child should be able to make their own decisions as they grow up with some guidance, but keep it out of the damn schools. I hope they don't do this stuff in the schools. Now, this Gay Pride Month, I don't know when this started. It got past me somehow, some way. I just think it's ridiculous to me.
We're going to continue this next week because it's going to be day 5 months next week.
Right. So anyways, Walt, it's been a hell of a show. For Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Scoop Stanton telling everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make a difference. See you next week, everybody.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.